And if you would, just bow your heads for another quick minute. Lord, we thank you for our youth on this Youth Sunday, Lord, the fifth Sunday. Wow, Lord, it's hard to believe it's the last Sunday of January, as we were just saying. Happy New Year. Here we are 31 days into the new year, Lord. And thank you for our youth, Lord. Thank you for those that are helping the parents, as we all are one family, training up our youth in the way that they should go, so when they're old, they won't depart. Thank you for all that you're deposited into their spirit, Lord, and how you're working in their lives from the youngest to the oldest. So we ask now, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we try our best to navigate through a dark, broken world, Lord. We ask that your word lead, guide, and directs us, Lord. What to do, what to say, what not to say, where to go, Lord. Teach us now through your Holy Spirit. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Romans 14 and 5. There's a few things I would like to go over with you all. For those of you that are taking notes, I want you to check your notes quickly. It's a couple of things that we should be doing. Number one, we're fasting and praying daily. Reading the Proverbs. So if you haven't read Proverbs 31 today, please read it at some point today. We're meditating day and night on the word. Proverbs 31 for our young ladies and for those, our seasoned ladies as well, and anything in between. It talks about the virtuous woman, the Proverbs 31 woman, which is just an incredible chapter 31 within itself, and how it speaks on what a woman of God is and what she does and how she conducts herself. We're ministering to God daily. We should have already ministered to God before we got here. I left you with three things last week. No, actually four. Seeking based on Mark 9:29. Believing based on Mark 5:36. What is our first love based on Revelation 2 and 4? And then meditating on God's word, Psalms 1 and 2 and Joshua 7. It's the foundation of what we build, what we're building on for this year. Seeking, believing, falling back in love with Jesus Christ, our first love. He told him, the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 and 4, you're doing some good things, but the only thing I have against you is you don't love me like you used to. You're going through the motions, but you don't love me like you used to. He said, you can come to church and not love God. And God said, Jesus told him, let's get that together. Amen. Then meditating on the word. So here we go. Let's go to today's lesson. Romans 14, 5 is somewhat of a review. We're talking about the new person and the old person, how we should walk. How do we live this thing? In Romans 13 and 14, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, that we should be wearing Jesus as we're wearing these raincoats today. Somebody say amen. Before we leave the house, in addition to putting on our clothes, we should have put on Jesus Christ and keep him on 24/7. So then Paul shifts. He's talking to three types of people. And I said four last time, but it's three. He's talking to, these are all Christians. He's talking to Christian Jews who've been converted. From Christian Jew to Christian Jew, he's talking. They're having a conversation with each other. Then you have a Christian Jew, and then you have a Gentile, a heathen that's been converted, a Roman. Then you have the Gentiles that have been converted, and they're talking to each other. So those are three sets. So I could be talking to a fellow Jew, or I could be talking to a fellow Gentile, or two Gentiles could be talking to each other. And so they're having all these issues about eating meat. So he starts off talking about eating meat. Because the Jews said, no, our tradition is we don't eat certain types of meat. So they were discriminating against the Gentiles who were eating certain types of meat. They said, no, it's you shouldn't eat. And then they said, we worship on this day. You shouldn't worship on that day. So Paul is kind of setting it straight. And he talks about that in 2. Then we get to verse 5, and he talks about the days. He says, one man or one person esteems a day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So whatever day you want to worship on, whatever day you go to work on, it's no big deal because God made every day. So give thanks to God and be thankful. I don't discriminate on you because you want to worship on a Saturday or a Sunday. As long as we're worshiping Jesus Christ, it's not a big deal. Don't get caught up in the days is what he's saying. Verse 6, he that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord. He does not regard it, he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. Underline, he gives God thanks. And he that eateth not, he giveth the Lord to the Lord. He eateth not and giveth God thanks as well. So if you're a vegetarian and somebody's a carnivore, they like meat, or you don't, or you're, what is that, vegan or what? Big deal. Who cares? Be thankful that God has given you something to eat, but don't discriminate against one because they eat and you don't. Because that's your tradition, that's your ritual, that's your routine. Big deal. He's saying we're all Christians. Verse 7, for none of us live to himself and no man dieth to himself. Verse 8, make a note. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whatever you do unto the glory of God. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Has nothing to do with what you're eating. And we talked about drinking. Someone wants, is it okay to drink wine? Is it okay? It's the Bible says a little wine makes the heart glad. If you're drinking wine, that's your thing with your meal. Okay. All right? Now, if you're drinking a 40-ounce and hanging out, that's different. Now, that's a little bit extreme. All right. That's not what God's talking about here. But because you have a glass of wine with your meal and you have a Diet Coke with your meal and we're all Christians, he's saying it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It tells us not to drink in excess to be drunk. If you're to the point where you're so drunk that if the Lord came back, he couldn't recognize you and you couldn't recognize him, that's a problem. And if you don't know your limit, then you shouldn't even drink. Don't even mess around with it. Verse 9. For this end Christ both died and rose and is alive now, that he might be both Lord, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Somebody say amen. Jesus covered it all. He says, well, why do you judge your brother? Why do you despise your brother? For we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Make a note, we all stand before Christ. We talked about that. So we could say that, make a note that all roads lead to Christ, but all roads don't lead to eternal life. Let me say that again, because we all got to stand before God. And you can read Revelations 20 and 15, I believe is a verse where it talks about the dead and the great and the small stood before God. So all roads do lead to Christ, but all roads do not lead to eternal life. And we were at the seminar, and I thank God for the men and Brother John that invited us to John Muckey. Not John Santos, but John Muckey, invited us to the men's conference yesterday. And it was 8 of us that were able to make it. So we thank God for that. But they were talking about this thing. It's the universal fatherhood. Sat in one of the seminars, Pastor Manny, and you've probably heard. And it talks about that everybody is under the Father. So we're all the same. You have to be very careful. There's a lot of doctrines floating out there. And we have to be careful. Yes, God created us all, but we're not all God's children. Amen. Ooh, Pastor, that's a tough word. Oh, I know that. Amen. And people want to try and make it seem like that we're all God's children. God created us all. We're all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. We have different fathers depending on if we've accepted Jesus Christ into our heart, because then we are adopted into God's family. But we have different fathers if you have not. OK, and if you don't follow me to John, let's go back a couple to John chapter 8. And where Jesus makes a distinction that we don't have the same father. John 8:38. So we have to be careful. There's a lot of stuff out there. A lot of different religions. And I remember I was with my son when he was in eighth grade and he received an award and we went to get it. It was at a church, but it was a lot of different people there. And it was a Muslim brother who got up and he was real smooth. He was from the fruit of the Islam, the Nation of Islam. And he got up and talked about Allah. Then he talked about Jesus. He said, "Man, you didn't know that we were Christians too, did you?" Oh, he was real smooth. And the brothers was standing up clapping. When we drove away, my son said, "Dad, what was up with that?" Little man knew the difference. But see, we do have in common where we believe that there is one God. But then that's it. Yes, my Muslim brother, we can talk about, because we do believe there's one God, but there are some fundamental differences. You say Jesus was just a prophet. We say he was God in the flesh. And he resurrected on that third day. You said the disciples stole his body. We say he's on the right hand of the Father right now. We're not all the same. We all don't have the same Father. It is not the same. There are some fundamental differences. And you have to know that. I brought one of my books that I want you all to. I think I've shared it before. It's called The Kingdom of the Cults. It's by Dr. Walter Martin. If you go on Amazon, get it used. It might be $2, but it's worth so much. It's invaluable. It breaks down all the religions and all the founders of each religion. So I was looking up, for example, you have the Jehovah's Witnesses that was started by Charles Taze Russell. You have the Mormons with Joseph Smith. You have Scientology, which was L. Ron Hubbard. All men. You have Christianity, which was founded by Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. See, when those men died, time didn't stop and start over. Time didn't split in half. But Jesus claimed to be God. He resurrected and showed us that he was, to the point that time split in half. And then we started over. Now, that's why we're in 2016. Most people still don't realize why it's 2016. Because 2016 years ago, Jesus Christ split time in half. When these other guys died with the religions they started, it was buried with them. Now the cult goes on, but that was the end of it for them. And so either you're in the year 5777 like the Jews who are still waiting for the Messiah, but then they're not all Jews, because we know there's Jews for Jesus, and the first converts were Jewish. And then think about this. See, then there was the issue, because they said, you know what, we don't really do the Passover like you do. We do communion now. Wait a minute. We've been doing the Passover for thousands of years. And you're telling me now you guys are taking communion? Yeah. See, that's the circumstantial evidence that you have to deal with. How would you stop doing something that you've done 2000 plus years for a lie? You don't just leave your culture and your traditions as a Jew to go from Passover to communion and baptism. Jesus changed the game, as they say. He split time in half. It's not the same. So be careful with this universal fatherhood and we're all one and love and peace and all that. There's a distinction. So here we are in John 8:38. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, so he's talking to the religious leaders. Yes, you can come to church, you can have on the suit, you can look good, and you can be so far away from God, it is ridiculous. Jesus said, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father," and underline my Father. "And you do that which you have seen with your Father." Two different fathers. We're not the same. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto him, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. You would act like your father if Abraham was your father. So you just can't say that you're a Christian and you're doing the works of somebody else's father. He says, but now you seek to kill me. Abraham didn't want to kill Jesus. He tells him later on that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. But you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth. Somebody say, you want answers or you want the truth? You know you can't handle the truth, amen? As you already know you can't handle it. But now you seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. He draws a distinction again. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So then they want to talk about his mama, because remember, Jesus was born of an immaculate conception. And they're trying to say, you don't even have a daddy. So now it's starting to get heated. Okay, you know, if you could be playing with your friend, they start talking about your mama, then it's going to be a fight. So now they're starting to hit below the belt. In other words, they called him, you know, the B word, you're a bastard. You don't even have a daddy. Your mama was sleeping around and you was born. That's what they told him. So this is not a nice conversation. And people want to say, well, Jesus was all about peace and love and going around hugging people with a rainbow dashiki and smoking weed and all that. No, that's not. Get into the word, folks. Oh, that's not the Jesus we serve. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's not it. So now they get heated. So then Jesus has to tell them. Jesus said unto him, if God were your father, now you see the distinction. He's saying God is not your father. You would love me. Ask yourself if you love Jesus. And then how do you know? If you love Jesus, you keep his commandments. Always getting deeper, ain't it? Yeah. Amen. If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Then he breaks it down. Okay, let's make it plain. Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. Okay. Now we got the distinction. We got Father God and the devil being somebody's father. It's not this universal father. We don't all come from the same place. We all don't have the same father. You have to be adopted through the blood of Jesus Christ by accepting Jesus Christ into the family. Other than that, you have a different father. And this is the word. I'm not adding to it. He says, you are your, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil is the father of all lies. All this confusion, all this other stuff you see out there is coming from the father of all lies, which is the devil. Make sure you know which father you belong to. He says, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. And which of you convict me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. I'm going to read this last one and we're going to go back. And so then verse 4, they really tried to go low on him then. Then answered the Jews and said, you are the Son, and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? So they really got deep then. Okay, this is what we're saying now. Listen, man, you're a Samaritan and you got a devil. So that's like if you're dealing with somebody and you're African-American and they call you, they get so mad, they call you the N-word. They just said, man, you are N and you a devil. That would be fighting. I'd be ready to fight. It'd be over then. That's the equivalent. They just called him a Samaritan. Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. They hated them. Somebody gonna call you an N and a devil? It would have been over right there. That's why Jesus had one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. He probably had to, woo! He probably wanted to just go off. That self-control. Somebody say, man, you can control yourself, family. So we see. Verse 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. Amen? We'll come back to that another time. Let's go back to Romans so we can finish up there. So hopefully you made a note that we all will stand before Christ, but we all will not. All roads lead to Christ to be judged, but all roads do not lead to eternal life. This universal fatherhood, all this other stuff that's out there, do your research. Jesus Christ is the only one that split time in half. Let's go back to Romans 14 and 11. For it is written, underline that, it's written. We know that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all inspired, God-breathed scripture. You want to know what God is saying to you? Read the word. It's a tough word. That's why most people don't read it. That's why they want to get rid of it, because this is a hard word. I don't blame them. I want to get rid of this too. It's outdated. It has no relevance. Get rid of it. It's offending me. I want to hear nothing that it has to say. Amen. I understand. I do get that. I'm reading sometimes like, wow, Lord, I can't say that to the people. Nobody's going to show up next Sunday. Give them the word. Get the opinions out the way and give them the word. That's all I can do. For those of us that love God, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We want this word. We want to know how to live right. We want to know how to do this thing right. We want to know how to please God. His word is life. It's living and it's breathing. And it's not only information, but it's given us revelation, which leads to our transformation. Can't get enough of it. That's why we should be reading the Proverbs daily. Just the value of the wisdom that come from the Proverbs. Verse 11, for it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12, make a note. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Get mom out the way. Get daddy out the way. Get everybody out the way. It's you and God. Parents, liberate yourself. You do the best you can, but you cannot stand before God on behalf of your kid. You can't. And kids, those of you, your parents might not be saved, and as much as you love them, you could do everything you can, but you can't stand on behalf of God for your parents or your siblings or your friends. To make sure that you're right before God, because you got to stand there and give an account of yourself to God. My goodness. If God were to run a video back of our life, and if it wasn't covered with the blood, we would be messed up. I sure wouldn't want to give an account without Jesus Christ. That would be a very bad day. Okay, so here we go. Here's what Paul is saying. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Stop talking about what she's eating, what she's wearing, what they're drinking. We're all Christians. Stop trying to judge, because Christ is going to do all that. We talked about it last time. We don't have to worry about sin. He's not talking about sin right here, because sin has already been judged. Make a note, Romans 6:23. That's already been judged. He's talking about what you're wearing, what you're eating, what you're drinking. So don't judge one another anymore. But judge this, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. So if you know that I'm been delivered from drinking, and you invite me over to your house and you having food and wine, see, then that's a problem. It's saying don't do that. If I know that Brother Ivy don't like meat, because that's his tradition, and then I invite him over for dinner and all I have is meat, so now I'm putting a stumbling block. Now we're having issues. I know you have your medical marijuana card, and so if I've been delivered, and don't invite me over and start smoking weed. I don't want to. I'm offended. You got your card because I know you do. That's all right. But I don't need that. Is it legal? I guess it's legal now. I don't know what you want to do, but don't put a stumbling block in front of me if you know I got problems with that. That's what he's saying. You all are Christians. Don't be putting a stumbling block in front of people. But here we go. I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So let me tell you what he's talking about and what he's not talking about. Okay, he's talking about food right here. He's not talking about... Well, I don't think it's a sin if I sleep around. I don't think it's a sin if I do. He's not talking about sin. He's talking about food. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians really quickly. All the T's are together. Timothy, Thessalonians, Titus. Find that the T and let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Oh, boy. Oh, Pastor, I know. I'm sorry. I just got to give it to y'all the way God gives it to me. All right. Did I say 1 Thessalonians? OK. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 3. If you ever wanted to know the will of God, what is the will of God for my life? Underline it. What is the wish of God? What is the desire of God for my life? He says, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So he's not talking about, well, I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm engaged, so we're going to be married. So it's not unclean if we sleep together now because we're engaged. I say 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry, 4 and 3. 4 and 3. Sorry about that. So you just can't say something's unclean because you say it's unclean. It's not unclean. You can't manipulate the scriptures so that it fits what you want to do. 4 and 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And the word fornication in the Greek, it comes from porneia, where we get the word pornography from. So men, we shouldn't be looking at all those sites and all that other kind of stuff, talking about it's all good. It's not. It's God's will that you should be sanctified, consecrated, set apart, and stay away from that stuff. So that's pornography, that's sex before marriage, that's being married, it's adultery. It talked about homosexuality, lesbianism, and bestiality. He's saying you shouldn't be sleeping with your animals either. People, oh, I never do that. Well, he includes all of it there. You read in Leviticus, like we've done before, they say if a man sleeps with an animal, they both should be put to death. You know, an animal is like, I was just trying to get to the other side of the road. I didn't even, this dude giving me a, winking at me and coming, now I got to get killed. I was just trying to get to the side of the road, this weird dude come, and now I got to die. That's what the word says. It's funny, but it's the will of God that we stay away from all that stuff. And it's unfortunate. You go to some countries and they're paying and they're putting on a show and they're sleeping with anything and animals as well. God wouldn't write it if it wasn't happening. And so you just can't say that because I say this is unclean, it's clean, it's okay. No, that's not what he's talking about. Look at verse 4. That every one of you, underline you, that's you and I, that's us, should know how to possess. You should know how to handle your vessel, your body. In sanctification and honor and in dignity. The word honor translated as dignity. Your body is the temple of God and it should be handled with dignity. That's the will of God, that you live right, that you hold your head up high, that you love God and you honor God by the way that you live. God not only wants your life, he wants your lifestyle. He wants your heart, life, and lifestyle. I know it's a tough word, Pastor. I know. I just read this and give it back. He says, verse 5, not in the lust of conspicuous, not in the passions that you just have no control, even as the Gentiles, as the pagans, as the heathens, which know not God. He's saying you shouldn't be living like people who have no relationship with God. You shouldn't be living like people who don't even know God. That's the will of God, that you live right. That no man, then he talks about the way that you treat your brother as far as money and different things like that. Verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner. Don't go cheating people. We shouldn't be cheating people. We shouldn't be lying. We shouldn't be backbiting. We shouldn't be slandering people. We don't defraud people. Don't defraud your brother or your sister. Remember, Trace is not only my wife, but she's my sister in Christ. Jay is not only my daughter, she's my sister in Christ. Little mama is my, not only my daughter, but my sister in Christ. I shouldn't defraud them in any way. You all are not just the family and the church members here. You're my brother and sister in Christ. I shouldn't be trying to defraud you. You shouldn't be trying to defraud me in no manner at all. Gotta remember, that's not your wife, brother. That's your, in addition to your wife, yes, she is. She's your sister in Christ. And God's going to hold you responsible how you treated your wife and how you treated your sister in Christ. How you treated your kids, those are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Look at verse 7. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. God's called us to be set apart, to be set aside, to be consecrated for him. All right, here we go. I'll leave it at this verse, verse 8. He therefore that rejects not man. That word despise in the Greek is reject. He therefore that rejects, you don't reject man, you rejecting God. Who hath also given us unto us his Holy Spirit. Back to Romans and we'll finish this up. Saying you, God's put a down payment inside of you called the Holy Spirit, and he sealed you. We've been talking about being filled and sealed. So you can't tell him that you don't have the power to live right. You do, and you're not rejecting a person. You are, because God is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, but you're not rejecting man. You're rejecting God. It's just like in Acts. Well, let's go there really quick. I believe it's Acts 5. Go to Acts 5. We got a little time this morning because the youth were, they didn't pray as long as I normally pray. I'd still be praying now, you know. So they gave us a few extra minutes. Thank you, youth. Look at Acts. See, where are we at? Look at 5 and 1 and go 1 through 3 and 4, something like that. Acts 5. You know the backdrop. Most of you know this story. We've gone over it before. But a certain man named Ananias with his wife, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Anybody ever sold, any husbands, you ever sold something with your wife there? Amen. Right? You guys sold something, right? A yard sale, an old car or something, right? Amen. All right. Okay. So it's not out of the ordinary. So he and his wife sold something, which is perfectly fine, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy or aware to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. All right. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan, underline that, remember, he's working for the wrong father. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? See, when we lie, we're not lying to man. We putting on a front. We're not fronting to man. We're lying to God and the Holy Ghost. Just like right here said, when you're rejecting God, when you reject man, you're not rejecting man. You're rejecting God, because the Holy Ghost is a person. It's part of the triune God. The Holy Ghost, and keep back part of the price of the land. Look at verse 4. I love this. While it was yours, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own in your own power? You don't have to lie. It's like when you give an offering. God, this is all I have. I'm struggling. I believe. Help my unbelief. I know I didn't tithe this week. Here's what it is. God says, good. When it's yours, it's your own power. Just be honest. Right. He says, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? It's a matter, it's not a consecration what we do on the outside. It's not about what we wear, what we look like, what we do. It's about the consecration of the heart. He said, why have you conceived this thing in your heart? This is who you are. You want to be someone that's lying to God. Why have you conceived this in your heart? That's what he's saying. Just come clean with God. God is okay with where we are because that's where we are. Because we live in a broken world and we're flawed and we're struggling. God is okay with that. Just come clean. Verse 4, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. Of course, you think? The young men arose, wound him up, and carried him and buried him out, because you know in the Jewish culture you were buried the same day. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Husbands, don't set your wife up. Amen? Man, we got to be above board with everything. It affects the whole family, men, whatever. I can take you through scripture after scripture after scripture. Men, what we do, it affects everything. Ladies, make sure your man is a man of integrity. When you're dating, when he first shows you who he is, believe him. Make sure you're dating a man of character and integrity. If he's lying and cheating now, it's not like you're going to get married and he's going to all of a sudden become that man of integrity. Doesn't happen like that. She was aware of the type of man he was, and she was co-signing on it. Verse 7, about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, said unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yeah, that's right. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit? How is it that you always living on the edge and you want to test God and you want to play with God? Behold, the feet of them that have buried your husband are at the door and shall carry you out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and all. And look, this was in the church. You can come to church. That don't mean you connected to God. You can come to church and God is not your father. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Like, I heard this. I'm tripping out too. All right, let's finish up in Romans 14. Romans 14, 15. But if your brother be grieved with meat, now walkest thou not in love. Destroy not him with the meat for whom Christ died. In other words, don't have issues with your Christian brothers and sisters over little stuff. Over little stuff. Don't. Why would you ruin a great Christian friendship over something that's not that big of a deal? It's not a deal breaker. But you make as my dad used to say, son, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Didn't understand that until he had to really break it down with the belt. Then I understood it then. It's not a big deal, son. You're making it bigger than it is, but let me show you why it's not a big deal. I got it, Dad. It says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. We talked about it. You invite somebody over. That's a good thing. But now you got wine all around the house. That's evil spoken of. You have your friends come over and you got you're smoking your medical marijuana because you got a prescription from your doctor. And that's and it's evil spoken of. And that's not good at all. Look at verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That's not what it's about. Underline these things. It's about righteousness and peace. It's about right living and being peaceful. And then joy, the calm delight in the Holy Spirit. So what can you do? Live right and promote peace. And stay calm, delight in the calmness of God and the power of His Holy Spirit. Don't trip on the little things. Stop stressing out over stuff that don't really mean anything. Get close to God. Ask God to show you how to live right. Don't argue with everybody over every little thing. That's not the peace of God. It's a way to live. I don't have to argue about every little thing. Don't argue with your kids about everything. Don't be the source of contention at your job. And so the people seeing you coming and you're a blessing when you go, and you're supposed to be the Christian on the job. People at the water cooler, you walk up, they gone. They got work to do. They don't deal with you at all. Stop being contentious. Stop arguing over little stuff. Verse 18, for he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. In what? Joy, righteousness, peace, the Holy Spirit. That's how you represent Christ. And you're approved of God and approved of men. Nobody has a problem with a peacemaker. No one has a problem with someone who doesn't, who's joyful. No one has a problem with anyone who really exhibits the Holy Ghost. That's the love, the joy, the peaceness, the goodness, the meekness, the self-control, the faith. Nobody has a problem with that. That's why you approved of God and men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. He's talking to Christians, saying stop arguing and having these relationships ruined over this little stuff, but be peacemakers. And then edify and build people up. We come to church, let's be peacemakers and let's build people up. Verse 20, for meat destroyed not the work of God. Somebody eat meat, that doesn't destroy the work of God. Are you really arguing about that? Are you really arguing about the little things? All things indeed are pure, but is evil to the man who eat it with offense. It says it is good to neither eat flesh, nor to drink wine. See, this is when it's not good, nor anything whereby your brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. So if it's anything, we have some friends, we know a couple, and we wanted to go out to the movies with them, but they only watch G movies. Grown couple. What were we supposed to go see? The Lion King? I don't know. Frozen? But they don't. So we wouldn't invite them over for movie night and then show something like Pulp Fiction or The Hateful Eight or what's the other one y'all watch? What's another one y'all watch? Oh, Straight Outta Compton, something like that. Okay. See, we wouldn't invite them for movie night. We got this great movie. We're gonna watch a movie. Oh, the Carters invite us over, and we're watching Straight Outta Compton, and we know they only watch G movies. See, that's your evil being spoken of, and that's putting a stumbling block in front of them. That's what it's saying. Don't do that to people. Don't do that to your Christian brother or sister. Don't invite your boyfriend over late at night saying, I need help fixing my computer at midnight. You know he can't handle it. You know you can't handle it. Don't go over your boyfriend's house after school, young ladies. Where are my young ladies at? I'm
over there.
Over there. Okay. All right. He needs help studying his math, and you're good at math, or that he's good at math, and you need help studying. And his parents are not. They don't get home till 6 o'clock. School is out at what time?
3:10.
Yeah, that's like 3 hours of homework. Don't do it. Okay. Don't go over there. Bless you. That's a stumbling block. Men, we as married men, we don't need to go out with the secretary or anybody like that. It's if the whole office is going out, that's different. But if it's you and her, that's That's your good spoken evil of. She's been doing a great job. I just wanted to take her out to luncheon. And then somebody walks in and see you sitting with another woman. And it could be good, but now your good evil is spoken of. It's just the way we got to treat each other as sisters and brothers in Christ and not get caught up. Because we're trying to do this thing right. So let us finish this out. It is good, verse 21, 14 and 2, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby your brother stumble, or is offended, or is made weak. See, you think about what's the toughest ones for us? Probably food, drinking, sex, drugs, movies, and then even money. You know, you don't loan your brother some money and you know he ain't going to pay you back and you know what he's going to do with it. And go buy some drugs, buy some drink. It's going to get deeper in debt. You're not helping. You're making him weak. And you and I, we're not the Holy Ghost. God is the Holy Ghost. We can't save him. God has to. And sometimes people have to get to their lowest point before they can reach out to God. But if we keep enabling them, then we're making them weak. And you say, well, I'm helping him out. No, he's stumbling and he's made weak. That's not helping him out. And that's the word. Verse 22, do you have faith? It's to yourself before God. Look at this. Happy is he or she that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And so that goes to condemning yourself. Some people say, you know, forgiving yourself and all that. But right here it's talking about condemning yourself. If you allowed it and you're condemning yourself, that's something you got to stop. It's taking away your blessing. It's taking away your happiness. You can't sit around and just have a pity party all day because of something you allow. You got to do something about it. You got to cut it out. And he that doubted is damned if he eat. Because he eateth not of faith. This is a cold scripture right here. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And that gets back to what we say. If you don't even believe what you're reading, no faith, you're walking around in sin. Because you don't even believe that, number one, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You don't even believe whatever you do. You don't think it's working. If I live right, it's no payoff. If I live wrong, it's no payoff. It's you can't be double-minded like that. We have to take a stand. We got to stand on the word. We'll stop there and we'll pick up next week. Let us just bow our heads just for a quick minute, pray, and then we'll dismiss. Remember that the messages are put up on the website within a couple of weeks. It's a lot covered here. It's a lot talked about here. If you want to share the message with someone, send them to the website. Send them to the website and just share the message. Or if you want to go over it and be reinforced what was taught today or any days, it's there for you. Let us just bow our heads. And Lord, as you're speaking to us, you talk to us this morning about holiness, about living right, about being right, about the judgment, Lord, about how we should possess our vessels, how we should not be a stumbling block to other Christians. Not just to those that are outside the body of Christ, but to those that are inside. So, Lord, we want to accept the challenge. That's why we come here. We want your word. We want to hear what you're speaking to us in 2016. We don't want 2016 to be an extension of 2015. Come here, Lord. We want to be different. We want to hear your word. We want to be changed. We want to share the good news of the gospel. We want to see all come into the relationship with you, Lord. We want us all to have the same Father. That's why we go out and make disciples and teach the gospel, because there is a difference. The word is clear. There's a difference with who you serve. We're all not under the same umbrella. Jesus Christ split time in half. Made the biggest difference ever for all of us who have accepted him as our personal Lord and Savior. So maybe it's here, maybe someone here and they say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I just thought it was a myth, or I thought it was just something somebody made up, but God is tugging on my heart this morning, and I know that I need that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you this morning. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. Here we are, the last day in January, and I'm kind of stuck. I mean, seems like 2016 is just an extension of 2015, but I need to rededicate and get right back on track with God. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home, and you say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I haven't joined, and I'd like to unite with you all this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. Love to be your church family. We're not members, we are family here at South Bay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love, your kindness, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to work to be saved, but because we are saved, we should have evidence that we are saved. We know the only thing that saves us, for by grace are we saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not trying to work to please you, Lord. We're trying to work because we love you. We've already been saved. We're not trying to do that. We're trying to show and demonstrate the evidence of a changed and saved life. So we thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life, and that more abundantly. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed. Oh, wait. Before we leave, one of the youth have the close. Who has the closing prayer? JoJo and JL has a closing prayer. Come on, JoJo, and amen. Natalie and JoJo, amen.
Not JL.
Come on, JoJo, Natalie. Family, or can you hear me okay?
Yes.
JoJo and Natalie. Let's give them a hand.
Louder, 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 louder.